Welcome to the Evolve Live podcast. I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. Each episode offers listeners an inside view about the issues, challenges, and opportunities business owners, entrepreneurs, and civic leaders face from a variety of choices, with a focus on overcoming adversity as a key component of achieving success. Our guest today is Jason Meyer, founder and CEO of Synergy Billing, which happens to be one of the 1,000 fastest-growing companies in the United States, according to Inc. magazine. The company has also been recognized as one of the 50 Florida companies to watch. Now, I'm really interested in this part of the bio. Jason's entrepreneurial journey started as a teenager, and his early success landed him interviews on Oprah and 48 Hours and in several publications. I will be asking you questions about that, Jason. Founded in 2006, Synergy Billing provides medical billing to America's nonprofit community health centers. In addition, Jason is the developer of the Fountainhead at Holly Hill, a 25-acre business campus that includes headquarters of Synergy Billing and several other companies that Jason has founded. With that, let's get started. Welcome, Jason Meyer.
Well, thank you so much. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be joining you and to be part of this.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to start off where I told you I would start off. What did you do as a teenager that led you to Synergy? Tell me about that early success.
Well, you know, it is really an interesting story, and it really starts with being a very young, ambitious child that was always curious. And much like many young people, I was taught that to be successful in life, you had to go to school, you had to get good grades, you had to study, which I was a great student. And that if you went to college and you worked hard, you could have a successful career. Mm-hmm. And so that was the path that I was on. And I went through many ideas of what I wanted to do in life and in business. But I always had a passion for inventing and for technology. And as a child, I would build computers. I would take them apart. I would put them back together. And this turned into something where friends and family would hire me to come work on their computers. And the first time I was paid $20 to help a teacher with her computer. It was in junior high school, mm-hmm. and the light bulb went off, and I saw a way where I could take a passion of mine, which was computers, and I could help other people with that, and I could make money, and I didn't have to have my college education. And I was just so eager to succeed, to build a successful life, and I just was ready to start making money. And when I saw that, I said, wow. I said, if one person will do that, will someone else?
Sure.
And I'll tell you, when I was 15, I set up shop at the Daytona Beach Flea Market, and I negotiated with my parents, and I said, listen, I can still go to school Monday to Friday, but on the weekends, I've saved up enough money now where I can pay for the rent, and how about a flea market shop? You know, and you chuckle, and it's funny
because
chuckle. You don't think about the flea market. But I'll tell you what, Howard, it turned into almost a novelty. People would bring their computer in to have this young kid. I was 15 years old at the time. I couldn't drive. People would bring in their computer. I'd fix it on Saturday. They'd pick it up on Sunday. And I was making money. I was Wow. making money. It was pretty exciting. So all of this continued to evolve. And I had a very successful computer company when I was a teenager going into high school. And it just evolved from there. And my help of providing help and support to doctors is what led to the formation of Synergy Billing. And just through that work of helping to support doctors in our community and doing their computers, I learned about the billing process and the challenges that every healthcare provider has. And that is what led me on my journey. Eventually, I stumbled into medical billing as a way to combat the inefficiencies and the games that insurance companies play, which happens every day. Mm-hmm. They don't make money when they pay claims. And what mm-hmm. Synergy is really good at is using data technology to beat the insurance companies at their own game.
So, Jason, was that journey from teenager and from the flea market to Synergy, was that linear, or did you go through a number of iterations in terms of LLCs, businesses, concepts, Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you talk about the classic pivot, right, which every entrepreneur goes through. And you know what really gets to me is that everybody talks about the success and, wow, look at where I'm at and how far I've come. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are embarrassed about the mm-hmm. adversities and the challenges along that journey. But every successful person has been through them.
Absolutely.
Whether it's people and relationships that don't pan out, partnerships, clients and customer relationships. The only certainty in life and business is uncertainty. And so it's definitely not been linear. There's been a number of pivots, adjustments, refinements. And I call that the fail forward process.
Fail forward. I love that. Absolutely. And as you said, it's part of being an entrepreneur in the first place, right? Those people who aren't entrepreneurs aren't willing to take the risk that goes along with failure, right?
And I don't know if it's just being programmed differently as a kid. It's just the way my mind works. I don't think about failure like we traditionally think right. of the word. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a powerful word. It evokes an emotion. When you hear the word fail, mm-hmm. You can't help but get a little edgy, worked
sure.
up.
Sure.
But when I approach it, I never look at something as failure. It's mm-hmm. always, I'm learning something. I feel like I'm an explorer in the universe. And everything we do, if it doesn't go exactly as planned, I can't change what happened. Mm-hmm. I can learn from it and try to incorporate that so that I do it better and differently next time. And that's just life. That's life unfolding. And that's not failing. That's learning
not
to do and
Absolutely.
What works.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you a question, though, as you were dealing your 15-year-old self dealing with your parents. Were they entrepreneurial? What caused them to, you know, say, yeah, let's do this? Tell me a little bit about them.
Well, they're the most supportive people you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And definitely would not be here if it weren't for them. Mm-hmm. But the thing that they were really good at as parents is they never said that I couldn't do something. If I had an idea, they would say, well, you know, if you work hard, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything is possible. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that was really a key part for me of mm-hmm. just not thinking about limiting thoughts. There was mm-hmm. never a, well, you can't do that because of this. It was even sometimes it was harebrained stuff, but they'd say, well, you know, if you work hard, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. So I think that positive encouragement just became part of my mantra. Mm-hmm. So I think their support was really critical.
So talking about mantra, in the article, you're the lead article and the cover for the next issue of Evolve. That issue is recruiting young talent. And the article that focuses on your business and others is the power of synergy, not just your company, but of synergy. It's an interesting title or name to have used for your company. Tell me how you got there.
Well, I think synergy is really, it's almost like a form of magic. And, mm-hmm. and I always think about the power of compounding, right? And mm-hmm. synergy is when you bring people together and you produce more in outcomes and outputs than are required in inputs. You know, true synergy, everybody walks away gaining something in value. Mm-hmm. And you're able to harness the power of whether it's brain power or productive ability, and it creates a compound effect, just like compound interest. So when I thought about billing, mm-hmm. and I thought about what's involved in processing medical claims, there's so many different moving pieces, technology, people, business processes. These things have to be working in balance, and every ingredient is interdependent upon the others. Mm-hmm. And when they work together, it's just true synergy. And that's how it translated into synergy billing. And then one step further than that, I looked at it as a philosophy, an approach for how to do business. Because mm-hmm. when you go into a deal, whether it's a client deal or business deal, and if your focus is, I want everybody to walk away from the table gaining something in value, no losers. When you can create that type of balance and that synergy, then you're creating relationships for life. You're creating business partnerships that last and deals that work. So to me, synergy is transcendent from just the business in its name. It's really a way of life.
Mm-hmm. We used to say, Jason, 1 + 1 is equal to 3 or more.
You know? Yeah.
There's a new math around how we come together as a team and how synergistic you can create an organization. So, yeah, you're absolutely in the, as we used to say, the right stack of mail. Is synergy a synergy billing? Is the value proposition the uniqueness of the technology? Do you have a patent? Or is it actually the synergy that you've just described? What is the value proposition you're offering your clients?
Well, that's a really great question. And it's really important because I think the key to any business, if you focus on how you're driving value, the value that you create for your customers, you're always going to be gainfully employed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody
mm-hmm.
nobody gets fired for doing a bad job unless the economy is doing terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
let's not talk about that right now. But go ahead.
Right. If you're doing a good job, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So how do you drive value?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in our business, what happens is 1/3 of all medical claims deny at first submission, and the cost of processing goes up exponentially. It's an increased cost of $25 per medical claim
mm-hmm.
when it's denied.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a significant cost. So what happens is because it's so complex to work with these denied medical claims, a lot of them go unpaid. And for the clientele that I serve, that Synergy serves and all of our synergists, about 70% of claims, 70% is all that gets paid every year, which means that there's 30% of the underserved patient population that received treatment didn't get any money for those visits, right? So let's put that into a value proposition. What Synergy is really, really good at is we come in and we look at people, process, and technology to optimize those things so that we can increase the effectiveness of billing. We can take more billed visits and convert those into paid visits.
Mm-hmm.
Without increasing any operating expenses for a health clinic. And that drives bottom line dollars. So more money coming in per patient visit, no increases in expenses, and where normally that money would have been written off to bad debt because it's difficult to get these insurance companies to pay, now that money goes straight to the bottom line because they didn't have to take it as a bad debt expense. The money came in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings in more money for each of the Synergy clients. So it's a huge value proposition. And what happens is net effect is the service that Synergy provides to health clinics, it pays for itself. Is that any fees that we charge are offset by the additional revenue
sure.
that we've collected.
So it sounds like that value proposition would be rather broad and deep. Yet and still you're focusing on nonprofit community health centers. Why did you narrow your market in that way?
Well, there's a few reasons, and it's not to say that we would always just keep our market narrow,
mm-hmm.
but where can we have the broadest impact?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at impact in a couple of ways. One, there's the social impact and being able to do the greatest good for the greatest number.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the financial impact. Where can you do the most good financially? And I don't think those things have to be independent. I think that doing good and doing well financially can coexist,
mm-hmm.
and they do. So for me, serving the types of clients that Synergy serves, it is a very niche market. So from a strategy perspective in mm-hmm. business, you always want to find that niche
Absolutely.
That you can hone in.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you want to do is you want to double down on that niche. You want mm-hmm. to hit it hard, and you want to saturate that market. You want to be the leader.
Uh-huh.
You want to be a dominant force in that niche market.
It's called the discipline of market leaders.
Yes, absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you move on to the next market.
Mm-hmm.
So I am laser focused on serving these nonprofit community health centers because they make a significant impact in communities all across America.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is a small niche, no more than 1,400 unique entities serving 35 million people.
Wow.
So broad impact
yep.
across a small number, and that increases the reach and the amount of impact that Synergy can have. And once we have really served this market and have a level of, let's say, market dominance,
sure.
there's mm-hmm. a lot of other segments of healthcare that we can help as well.
Well, without your leaking any business secrets, my next question was going to build on your continue to evolve comment. where you talked about how you continue to evolve to the point of synergy. And I think one of the questions we're beginning to ask people is, how is your business evolving? What do you see on the horizon for Synergy Billing that you are willing to share?
Wow. I mean, these are great questions. So I think that, you know, let's talk workforce for a minute. And, mm-hmm. and I think that the key is flexibility, is that we've all been in markets and economies where it's an employer's market, where, mm-hmm. you know, there's a line of people waiting and it's highly competitive. And so you have a little bit more of a leverage in the mm-hmm. hiring process. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the shift in that dynamic. And now we have to think about employees as a customer. Mm-hmm. We're serving these customers, yeah. and we've got to make sure that we're offering them good benefits, and we're competitive in pay, and that this is a place where somebody wants to come and work and have develop connections with other people. So we're having to think differently. So that's one aspect of evolution in the new paradigm that we're in that I think is different for a lot of us. We've had to rewire the way that we think about some things.
Yeah, Robin King was on a podcast that John Guthrie did around this theme, recruiting young talent. And she said that the pivot here is not the great resignation, it's the great reflection. It's people mm-hmm. looking at what do they want to do with their life. And organizations and companies have to participate in that exploration, in that reflection. So, yeah, excellent point. Excellent point.
Well, and what you just mentioned as well is such an excellent point, is it's much deeper than just people saying, yeah, I'm done working.
Yeah,
it's
right.
People dealing with existential crises and saying, well, what is life all about? Is after this COVID thing and near death, is, you know, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
And it's all of those things. So it is a much deeper and broader issue. So approaching it as a conversation instead of trying to fight it, I think is so critical, and realize that it is deeper than just supply and demand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Jason, I've enjoyed our discussion. I normally close out with, what adversity have you faced and how did it propel you to success? You answered that in the first 5 minutes. So I'm not going to revisit that. But I would like you to close with what message you would give to young, aspiring entrepreneurs. One of the things I want to do is a youthpreneur summit, Jason, I believe we've got to encourage youth as young as middle school, high school entrepreneurs, not to be entrepreneurs at that age, but to plant that seed for our entrepreneurs of the future. I'd like you to weigh in on that and share your thoughts with those aspiring entrepreneurs.
Well, there's so many things. I mean, as you were framing the question, I was thinking too, and you know, to narrow down just one, mm-hmm. I guess if I were thinking a little philosophically, I think it's got to start with the right mindset. There's got to be fertile ground. So let's build on that for a minute. And let's just say how somebody approaches adversity, failure. And we think about anxiety. We think about stress. Think about our young people that are in school, and they're going through these emotional roller coasters, and they don't know how to handle these things. Those things then translate into the professional world. And listen, nobody performs at their best when they're stressed, they're worried, they're fearful. So to me, putting people in a relaxed state, and I just mean a state where, all right, we're dealing with problems. Oh, problems come, the problems go. Mm-hmm. We deal with them, mm-hmm. right? But we don't get overly worked up about it. Mm-hmm. A mentor of mine once said, he said, Jason, he said, listen, he said, you seem upset. He said, I want you to stand up for a minute. Stand up, and I want you to look down. Now, are you in a pool of blood? And I was like, pool of blood? No. It's like, oh, phew, that's a relief. Because if you're not in a pool of blood, there's time. There's mm-hmm. time to think it through. There's mm-hmm. time to work it out. We don't have to get reactive. Mm-hmm. So I'd say first and foremost, when you are a new entrepreneur, when you're a young person starting out, you don't know what you don't know. And it's really easy to get afraid and to fear the risk and the what ifs and all of these things. And a certain amount of fear is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. But if that fear translates into panic, worry, then it's tough to make good decisions. In fact, your cognitive function goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's really important, is each of us have to master ourselves. We have mm-hmm. to know how to master the vessel so that we can be a great leader for others. And if you can't manage yourself, you can't manage others. So I think it starts with how you think about things and trying to, whether it's stress you're dealing with at school or the stress of career and business, people have to have effective ways to manage that. Mm-hmm. Because then if they can self-regulate effectively, that's gonna help out a lot of other things. Because then it's a lot easier to be persistent and to not get bummed out when something doesn't go as planned. And you just look at it as, all right, well, that wasn't great. So what are we going to do now? And so that having that right mindset, that right approach to failure and adversity, I think that then when you see a perceived risk, instead of it being fight or flight, it's more of a, okay, well, I see that these are the possible outcomes. What are we going to do to prevent it? So I really think as far as advice or anything like that, it's like get your head right. The mm-hmm. mental game is so important.
Yeah, I think you said that very well. But I think you also drew a line to how to do that as you spoke about having a guide or a mentor to help you achieve and know what that mindset looks like. And the two of those things go together. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just to build on that thought for a second is that we've all heard the phrase, you know, we're products of our environment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, and whatever's happened is going to shape the future. And to a degree, that's true, right? Is that if somebody has been, if they're stuck in a pattern, if they're in a spiral and they don't have a support system at home, it can be very difficult. And mm-hmm. they've got to break through because the way that they see the world is through a filter that's not quite clear. Mm-hmm. So it takes a mentor, a teacher, a leader, mm-hmm. somebody to disrupt the current system. There's got to be a significant event that gets them to think a little differently. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so passionate about our teachers, our school system.
Absolutely.
Because for so many people, they might have come from a certain environment, but those circumstances do not have to define their future. And our teachers are those mentors that can help to get those children to see things a little differently mm-hmm. and to break that pattern so that they can break through limiting thoughts and beliefs. So that mentorship is such a key component. Whether it's a teacher, whether it's a friend, a family member, you know, that's part of the process of learning and growing is finding those people that model the way, that set the example, that have the knowledge or experience that is relevant to what we're passionate and curious about, and just latch on and try to learn as much as you can.
Absolutely.
So, that's
absolutely
a great point.
No, and a great discussion, Jason. I ran over the time we normally allocate for this, but I did not notice it at all. I have been talking with Jason Meyer, founder and CEO of Synergy Billing. It's been a great discussion. We welcome your feedback and suggestions. Let us know what you think at editor@evolve-success.com. That's editor@evolve-success.com. I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. Thank you, Jason, for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. Be good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.